What up, LoveQuest Nation? You are listening to our latest episode of our 9 a.m. Sunday experience, recorded live at our location in Vancouver, BC. So come on in and enjoy a powerful right now word brought to you by our founding and lead pastor, Pastor Terrence Richmond. Enjoy.
Last night I released a word at the top of the service. You should go listen to it. It wasn't the word, but it was a word for whoever it was for. Today, there's one for you. That place has stopped producing. I don't know what that place is. That's for you. But that place has stopped producing. Pay attention when something stops producing for you. That situation has dried up. Pay attention when things dry up. Stop trying. Look, see, I grew up in the hood. And when you're running out of toothpaste, you roll it up. I'm getting all this toothpaste out. Before we go buy some new toothpaste, we're going to roll it all the way up and squeeze it all the way out. Right? You can't do that in relationships. That's not what relationships are supposed to do. That's not what business partners are supposed to mean. You're not supposed to take that relationship and for months and for years be trying to squeeze something out that's not there. So for whoever it is, that situation is dried up. Yeah. That mindset has expired. The way you used to think will no longer be fruitful for you. The way you used to think will no longer comfort you. The way you used to think will no longer produce for you. The way you used to think will no longer get you higher. You've gone as far as you can thinking the way you thought. For whoever it's for. And for some people, you like, ooh, that's me. For some of you, in 3 weeks, you're going to be like, oh, okay, God, I see you. You was preparing me to awake, okay? So it's my duty today to declare, to call out. And so come out of that pit and go towards the promise. Come out of that confusion and go towards that clarity. Come out of that pity and go towards that power. Come out of that surface and walk into submersion. Come out of the surface and walk into submersion. Even if it's your relationship with Jesus, some of you are too surface with your relationship with Jesus. What you waiting for? We scuba divers. We in submarines. Amen. Come off of Hottie Hill and head down the humble lake. Those that's dealing with pride, Hottie. And come out of complaining and lift up a clarion call of joy and thanksgiving. Oh yeah, it's the Catholic service. And come out wherever you are and rise to your new life. Father, may we have ears to hear, eyes to see. May we not hide. May we not think about somebody else that word is for. May we receive. Because you are a father that loves us, therefore you will correct us. And you correct us to keep us on course. Say on course. And we thank you, Lord, that we are on call. You have access to us all the days of our lives. We are all your children. And Lord, we thank you, your church is a general hospital. All the days of our lives. We thank you, God, in Jesus' name. Bless this word. Anoint my lips, Lord God. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that we are free from error. And Holy Spirit, this vessel yields to you. Pour out in Jesus' name. Amen. Can you just do me a favor and give your neighbor a hand for being here today? Amen. Amen. Let me see if we can get you excited this morning, get you happy about life. Today I want to start, I don't know if it's a series or if it's just a today thing. Last night we talked about what? The power of the glory bubble. The power of the glory bubble. And it was powerful. And today we're going to talk about the power of panting. Okay? I want to be very clear. Can we get the... up on the screen. please? The slides on the screen, Bernadette, can you help them out? Because they chatty catties up there. Them two really good friends like talking all the time and they not paying attention. Thank you. The power of what? Panting. I need you guys, last night it was a little confusion. Your ears can play tricks on you. But it's the power of what? Panting. Panting. The power of panting. Say panting. Okay? And some people were confused about what panting is. Some people never heard of panting. Whenever I'm jogging around, wherever I'm jogging around, when I'm running out of breath, I'm never like, I'm panting. Oh, babe, you're panting right now. No, we don't use that language for us, but it is a thing. Okay? The power of the pants, our pants, when we pant, but the power of panting, let's go a little deeper. Matthew 5 says, blessed and fortunate and happy and what? Spiritually prosperous. Come on, help me out. And what? Oh, spiritually prosperous. Thank you. And spiritually what? Prosperous. Spiritually what? Prosperous. God is concerned about your spiritual prosperity. He's worried about your joy. Are you bankrupt or are you rich with joy? I don't know about you, but I am super wealthy with joy. I'm glad I reached soul wealth before I reached wealth. Because whenever wealth kick in, I will never worship it. Because wealth can come and wealth can what? Go. But boy, the rock of my salvation will never come and go. He stays. I can stand on the rock. Spiritually prosperous. In that state in which the born again child. It's a state. You see this? Blessed and fortunate and happy and spiritually prosperous in that state in which the born again child of God enjoys his favor of salvation. You are meant to enjoy favor, not always be looking for favor. Favor is a state in which you, a child of God, lives. It's not something you always seeking. I'm not going into a situation looking for favor. When I show up in the situation, favor shows up. Yep. Are those blessed, happy, fortunate? Are those who hunger and thirst for something specific? We all hunger and thirst for something. If you don't, you're not alive. We all hunger and thirst for something. Take a moment, and what are you thirsty and hungry for this past week? What was it that you just wish broke through for you? Did it have anything with what God has to break through for you? Does it have anything to do with God's plans for you? Does what you hunger and thirst for have anything to do with what's on God's heart? Think back to yesterday. Think back to 3 days ago. Let me tell you something. Whatever you were worried about is what you're hungry and thirsty for. What were you losing sleep about? What was you on the phone looking for the hookup about? What were you texting about? What was you hungry and thirsty for just in the last 72 hours? Was it righteousness? Are you consumed to be filled with the glory of God? Consumed to be filled with the righteousness of God? Consumed to be filled with the peace, the joy, the hope of your salvation? Is that what you wake up hungry and thirsty for? Do you wake up, Lord, I want more of you? Yeah. Uprightness and right standing with God. Hunger and thirst to be right with God. Not be right with my homie. I want to make sure I'm more right with my girl than I am with my God. I want to be more right in my pocketbooks than I am in my prayer closet. Right? Where's your priorities? God wants you to be well off. God wants you to have your spouse. God wants you to have your career. But he don't want it to have you. He don't want you to lose your mind when things in the world that's meant to go bad at times go bad, and now you're going bad. Come on. Come on. For they, those that, listen, those that are hungry and thirsty for righteousness, they shall be complete. Woo! They shall be what? Completely satisfied. Man, I've chased a lot of stuff, and it never brought satisfaction. I've had money in the bank. I've had friends. I've had popularity. I've played pro sports. I've had people cheer. I've partied. Nothing can satisfy a man's soul except the one who died for it. I promise you. It don't matter how hard you work, it don't matter how long you look, it don't matter how fine she is, it don't matter how good the sex is, it don't matter how good the TV Netflix series is, it don't matter how big your bank account, it don't matter how lush and lavish your leather seats are, it don't matter how big your property is, you will never be satisfied if God is not the anchor of your soul, period, point blank. The pandemic proved that. God, what am I going to do? Oh, I got more time to worship God, fellowship with my brothers and sisters in Christ. Absolutely. More time to hang out with my family. More time to focus on what really matters. Do you notice that the government can't take away what really matters? Selah. The system can only take away what it gave you. They give you your job. Guess what? Even when you buy a house, guess who got to approve it? Yeah. Guess who got to give you a loan? You leasing a car. Ain't yours. You bought the car. The value of it goes down immediately. They can only take away what they gave you. But they can never take away what God gave you. Listen, God don't mind your car getting taken. God don't mind the value of your car going down. But the value of who he says you are can't go down. What the blood purchased, the value of the blood of Jesus can't go down. The value of salvation can't go down. That's what can't go down. That's what can't be taken. That cannot be taken from you. So why are you so consumed with what can be taken versus what cannot be moved, shaken, or taken? Solidify your salvation, and from salvation, pursue dreams. Verse 6. You're blessed from the message. You're blessed when you've worked up a good appetite. When you've worked up a good appetite for God. You are what? Blessed. Come on, you are what? Blessed. One more again, you are what? Blessed when you've worked up a good appetite. You ever been hungry? Have you ever worked up a real good appetite? You ever have somebody offer you some junk when you was waiting for your Thanksgiving dinner? And sometimes you be like, nah, I don't want to what? Mess up my appetite. And that's what the devil try to do. He is throwing stuff at you every day to try to what? Mess up your appetite. Come on, somebody. He trying to serve you junk. He trying to serve you manna. And you willing to take a donut over a ribeye because it's taking too long. And now the ribeye don't satisfy you as much. God don't satisfy you as much because you've been gnawing on junk. You've been gnawing on carnal worship. You can't lift your hands in the house of God because you worshiping other stuff. That junk food got you weighing down. Your other diet got you weighed down because you can't wait. He said, man, you blessed when you work up an appetite, a good appetite for the Lord. That's how all week I'm working up an appetite for the weekend. I be thinking about y'all all the time. Trust me, I don't want to think about y'all all the time. But I be thinking about y'all all the time. Even the people that don't think I think about you, I think about you all the time. Braden, I be thinking about you and your lady. I think about you, Giselle. I think about every last one of y'all in here. Y'all pop up on my mind just for me to whisper a word of prayer for you. Lord, put me on your mind. I can't stop seeing y'all face. And sometimes y'all face come to me like a Zoom picture. You know Zoom? Where you can see all the faces? Overwhelming moments when all y'all pop up at the same time. But what is God? He's stirring me up and preparing me. So when I do get in your presence, guess what I could do? Pour. You work up a good appetite. He's food and drink in the best meal you'll ever have. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. By the way, we fasting and praying. In year ending fast and prayer. November what? Second. November second. Get ready, 21 days. We're going to let you have your little Thanksgiving. And then we're going to let you eat your leftovers. Do y'all do leftovers here in Canada? Amen. Y'all bougie in Canada. Y'all just cook just enough. No, we fasting and praying. Why? So we could discipline. We can, because why? We working up a good appetite. I never want to not be hungry for God. Living off, man, you know how long I lived off of junk food? The same way junk food treats your physical body is the same way spiritual junk food will feed your soul. Some of us have, some of y'all vegan, but you drinking like Fruitopia in your spirit. You drink soda in your spirit. You drink Pepsi every day in your spirit. Doritos, Hot Cheetos. Ghetto trail mix. Ghetto trail mix got like Starburst and Doritos and M&Ms and mini Snickers, Pringles. No, see, that's how we feed our spirit junk. We watch more junk on the tube. See, if you're going to put junk in, you got to put some healthy stuff in. You got to balance it out. Okay, watch your Netflix, but please listen to your worship and read your word and have healthy conversations. Okay, you got to get a better diet to build up a good appetite for the Lord. Why? Because all of us in our soul is panting. All of us are hungry and thirsty for something, right? The world is hungry and thirsty for something. We're looking for the next best thing. Right, we can't just stop at the Apple 9Z. Is it a 9Z? Right, but people still looking for the 15. Then you're gonna have the whole backside gonna be a camera. You can't even touch the backside. Phone gonna be small. Whatever. We're always looking for the next thing. Never satisfied. We got to taste something new. We got to have something new. We got to have always the upgrade, but we never want to upgrade our soul. But I ain't talking to those. I'm talking to some hungry and thirsty people today in Jesus' name. Do I got at least two hungry and thirsty people? Amen. How enriched you are when you crave righteousness. Say crave. How enriched you are when you crave righteousness, for you will be surrounded with fruitfulness. See, a part of being surrounded with fruitfulness is having a company of fruitful people in your life. Like some of us hang out with spiritually bankrupt people. Therefore, we're always pouring out and ain't getting no pour back. See, when I hang out, when I come around Carolyn and Danny and Effie and all of you, and forgive me if I forgot your name, just include yourself in there. When I hang out with you guys, although I am the majority poorer, you guys don't understand how much you add to my wife and our lives and our family lives by just listening and being led. When you're willing to be led, you are pouring back into the leader. But when all you do is come to church and take, take, take and don't want to do nothing, you suck leadership dry. Therefore, it's not a covenant. You just coming to get served. So you treat church like a restaurant. Are you a consumer of the church? You're not looking to offer nothing to the church. You just want something from the church. Lord, pour into me. Pastor, inspire me. But when are you going to grow up and come and say, where can I get involved? How can I support? Right? Because then what happens is you got to sow to be fruitful. And I'm not just talking money. I'm talking about lay your life down. When you hang around fruitful people, man, and as God is growing them, you got the people that you've been prophesying over start prophesying over you. Pastor, come here. Let me pray for you. Let me lay hands on you. And I don't let anybody lay hands on me. Not at all. But you hang around fruitful people. And when you sow into people's lives, as God promote them, guess what they're going to do? They're going to reach back and bless you. That's the greatest investment you can have. I'm sowing in the soil, all of y'all dirt. And I'm sowing this word into you. And he that has ears, let him what? Hear, and you'll reap some 30, some 60, some 100. And guess what you're going to do? You're going to reap. And guess what you're going to do? Sow right back into the person sowing into you. And it's this healthy community, this agriculture, this culture of sowing and reaping, this healthy, beautiful life that we're all living and we're all blossoming. I'm looking at people who used to be tormented with anxiety and depression. Smile more, happy more. Your teeth didn't get no whiter. You just smiling more and your teeth now seem a little whiter. Amen. Crave, say crave. So come on, say crave. Crave is to feel a powerful desire for something. To experience a powerful desire for something. A powerful desire for something. To crave is to feel a what? Powerful desire for something. And then the old English word for crave is crafion. It means to demand, this is powerful, claim as a right. Hear me. The prophetic ears gonna perk up there, Elder John. Look. So God says, in other words, when you're truly craving for something, you place a demand on heaven. God has to pour out to the craver. Heaven has to move on behalf of the craver. Cravers pray fervent prayers. You got to hear what I'm saying. And when you are, I don't know what that was, but that's my Russian side came out, Yugoslavian side, I'm sorry. When you claim as a right, for me to crave, when my body is craving water, my body knows that I have a right to water because that's the only way I'm going to keep living. So when you're craving something for God, it's not this begging posture. The blood of Jesus has given me a right to what I'm craving for. I'm craving for peace, and the blood of Jesus has bought me a right. I'm craving for joy. I'm craving for prosperity. I have a right to it, and therefore when I crave or crave on, I'm placing a demand on my birthright. How long have you craved something that ain't yours, nor do you have a right to? Nah, that's somebody else's daughter. That's somebody else's wife. That's somebody else's job. That's why he say envy is a sin. It ain't yours. Don't envy. I have something just for you. So when I crave, there's a demand. There's a claim as a right. So when I'm craving more of Jesus, more, Lord, pour out your spirit, Lord, move in these people's lives, I am placing a demand. I'm not begging. I'm placing a demand. Why? Because his will, I know and I believe, his will is that you know him, that you be touched by him. I'm craving what's mine's. To crave, here you go, it's my own little thought. To crave is to imply that once you get the fix, you will be satisfied. That's why around here we say, get your love fix. What? Man. Because that's the only thing that's going to what? Satisfy you. That's what you're really looking for. If you have more love in your soul, you can work at a job you don't really like. See, because your job wouldn't be so much about a paycheck. Your job would be about the souls you can impact, and your supplier, Father, will provide for you. So to crave is to imply that once you get the fix of whatever you're craving for, problem solved. Question. What do you think is going to make your life better? Right? There's things that I've wanted. There's people that desire to be in pro sports. There's people that desire a certain amount of money, a certain job, a certain career, a certain, they want a spouse. And whenever you're wanting something very bad, what comes with it is, if I get it, it will bring me something. Anybody with me? If I get this career, my life will be better. I will be able to buy whatever that career says I can buy based on the income that it will bring in. If I get in this relationship, I will be more satisfied. I will not be lonely anymore. So you think. So you're craving things, assuming that it's going to bring you satisfaction. Let me tell you, whatever you're craving outside of God will bring you temporary satisfaction, and for sure will bring you some frustrations. But when you crave the love of God, when you crave that through the career you desire, you could be a greater blessing, when you crave the joy and the peace of God so you can release it, you will always be satisfied because you've become a vessel for heaven to navigate through. Therefore, that's why he says, if you don't be salty, what good is your saltiness? God wants to live in you as a vessel so he can pour out through you. Therefore, if you become a vessel that desires to release him in the earth, he will always fill you with what he needs to get through you. So if he can trust you with wealth, you'll always be what? Wealthy, because he needs to get it what? Through you. You can't carry the joy of God and remain an introvert. You got to release that joy. You got to release that love. You got to be a flow. You call the plumber when the toilet get backed up. Or you become the plumber. Right? Because something ain't what? Getting through. If you turn on your sink and yellow water come out, guess what you're going to do? You're going to have to get a plumber. Because not, it's something's coming out, but what's coming out is perverted. I'm talking to somebody's soul right now. You have to understand that when you hunger and thirst for righteousness, what you're telling God is, Lord, not only bring it to me, but you can trust me to get it through me. And we have too many constipated Christians. If you're a consumer of the gospel, you're constipated. What does that mean? You want it to get to you and stop there. You're a hoarder. I didn't call you a whore. You're a hoarder. Dar, 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 dar. Whore, dar, dar, dar. You ever watch the show Hoarder? Might some of your insides look like that? You just keep coming to church, getting, 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 getting. I wonder if we followed you throughout the week, are you releasing, releasing, releasing? You will be satisfied. If God isn't the source of your fix, you will never be satisfied. Now, it's 2008. Before I even met y'all, it was love fix. One of my first albums was called Love Fix. I'm going to bring it back to you. It's a little outdated, but it's good. I've been talking Love Fix ever since he dropped that some revelation to me. And we've been Get Your Love Fix all over the world, wherever I go. Get Your Love Fix, man. Three A's, if you ever pay attention, very intentional. One A for the Father, one A for the Son, one A for the Holy Ghost. And it just looked better. I remember I used to do 10 A's. I used to just hold my finger on the A. Man. No, just man. Get your love fix, man. If God isn't the source of your fix, you will never be satisfied. To pant is to cry for revival, Elder John. To pant is to cry for revival. I'm crying for change in my life, in my city. And I believe we're in a season. Why is this message important? It's because God is asking you to reevaluate your affections. Reevaluate what you're craving. Like a sweet tooth is not good. And sweets are only good on the tongue. If there's a way you could just eat sweets and not swallow it, just spit it out and enjoy it, but you got to eat it. I want you to catch this. Say la. Sweets are only good on the tongue. But even if you swallow it, spit it out, you still got to swallow the sugar. Be careful what you're tasting. You think it's just a taste. You still got to swallow the sugar. And once the sugar gets in your system, to pant is to cry for what? Revival. Talk to me. Say revival. Psalm 42:1 says, I long to drink of you, of God, drinking deeply from the streams of pleasure flowing from your presence. Had this conversation with a wise young man last night. He's like, what does it really look like to dwell in a secret place? And outside of literally just praying or reading the word or singing a song, because some people trying to dwell. All right, God, we're going to dwell today. You guys get out the house. I'm about to dwell. And you think it's a literal place. No, to really dwell is to walk with a 24/7 presence, awareness, responsiveness to God. So when you walk in the grocery, this is something that I've developed and now it becomes my reality. When you walk in the grocery store or the coffee shop, you're not so just enthralled with the environment that you're not looking around and God can say, pray for that person. No, don't go to them. Just speak a word of prayer for them. God can say, hey, listen over here. Be quiet. Stop talking. Listen. You can go up and you are in line and the Lord can say, buy them a drink. You can go up to the line and say, Jesus loves you because he told you to. You can sit down and drink your coffee, eat your dinner with your friends, and God can draw your attention to the table over there and see the sorrow in someone's life and say, just speak a word of prayer over them. When you leave from your table, just tell them, you look so good. You go tell them, Jesus saves. You can go tell them, God forgives you. I saw a guy and I kept running into him, and it's a guy who fell away from the faith, had a church split. And I saw him in the coffee shop with his new girl. And I wanted to say something to him because he's very popular in the city. And you know, church folks dog you. They'll dog you more than the world will. And I remember seeing him, and I get this little feeling, this little thing that when God says, say something, and I didn't say nothing. And you know, you made that deal with God. All right, if I see him again, God, I'll say something. And then I saw him again in the most random place. I was sitting in the bar area at Cactus Club. He walked in to pick up some food to go. Right? And you know you in the middle of waiting for the right time to approach the person, but you kind of want it to not ever be the right time. And then he left. And then after they gone, then you want to obey? Let me see if they outside. And then they gone. And I said, God, if I see them again, I will say it and I won't hesitate. I saw him when we were in New West. I was going to grab a coffee at Old Crow. He was sitting there with his new boo thing. And I said, hey, sir, God has not forgotten you. And the call that he had on your life, it's without repentance. And he still has a call for you. He forgives you and he loves you both. Talk to you soon. My job is over. I'm going to get my coffee now. And then I hear, like, yesterday or the day before, they mentioned, hey, such and such said he knows you. Yeah, he's going to come to the church. And this is a powerful communicator. And their church was killing it. See, who has the heart and availability? To dwell in the secret place is to allow God to dwell in all your space. So even if I'm at home, I'm laying down, and the Lord say, tell your wife you love her. You don't think the Holy Spirit will tell you when to say, I love you? And you said it 100 times, and the Lord said, this time it's really going to hit different. Babe, did I tell you I love you? And she'll always say no. Love you, sweetie. Or I have a problem with one of my kids. I won't be mad. But even while I'm mad, I'm available. Lord says, son, you right. She a little gremlin. I mean, he a little gremlin. He a little gremlin. Go upstairs and just tell him you love him. Yes, Lord. Guess what I'm doing? I'm dwelling in the secret place. Right? I go to Thanksgiving dinner with my family. We're going to have a good time. Sitting at the dinner table. Don't do it, Lord. Please don't say nothing to me right now. Don't tell me to say nothing right now. But it ain't always a command. It ain't always a correction. Sometimes it's a question to spark conversation. But to dwell is to give him your ears, give him your tongue, give him your mind, give him your hands, give him your feet. You can be at work, guess what? Dwelling in a secret place, in a conversation with your boss. You can be walking all over your job's floor praying. That's all he needs you to do is release, release. What is that, dwelling in a secret place? But you gotta, what, first hunger and thirst for that. Some of us don't want God to go to some of the places we go to. Amen. Long, drinking deeply from the streams of pleasure flowing from your presence. It flows from your presence. My longings overwhelm me for more of you. Last week, as much as we poured, 5 services. And the last one, we really turned up. And some of you don't know me too well, but I sweat like crazy. So when I'm changing clothes in a concert, don't think, oh, he just trying to be. No, I'm sweating. I'm trying to be dry. I'm taking clothes home in bags. I was driving home last Sunday night. My little back was cramping. I had to stretch like this while I was driving. My back was trying to cramp up on me. And at the same time, I was tearing up. Full. Overjoyed with the goodness of God to see people who may be struggling all week, but they're dancing in the presence of God, full of joy. Families being reconciled, families fighting through tough times, people giving their lives to Jesus. I'm overwhelmed and I want more. Not only want more of him, but I want more of him so I can release more of him. I want more results. I want more lives saved. I want more families healed. I want more people converted. I want more of God. And in order to be effective for God, you have to dwell with God. We want to be used by God, but we don't want to dwell with him. How are you going to work for God without God? You say, my soul thirsts, pants, and longs for the what? Living God. All caps. I all cap that because I don't want no dead God. I want an alive God. I want to come and see the face of God. AMPC. As the heart pants, the heart, the little deer, the heart pants and longs for the water brooks. So I pant and long for you, oh God. Lord, I pray today that you just stir up a thirst and a hunger in people's hearts. Drive us to your living streams. Drive us to your living water. Drive us. Lead us to green pastures. Restore our souls. He says, my inner self thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and behold the face of God? Anxious to encounter Jesus. Anxious. Anxious to worship with you guys. Anxious. Sometimes I don't be like, oh, the Catholic Church, because I'm just like teasing. But a part of me want a place of alive. I want to encounter. I didn't wait all week to just be dead. I didn't wait all week. I could do dead all by myself. I came to a live place. I didn't come to no morgue. So when I'm trying to stir you up, I'm like, man, come on. I'm not going to see y'all for another 6 days. Let's get it cracking. But I also understand the fruit of praise. Everybody you see on this front row is a result of a life of praise. All these 4 hours, Pastor, why you keep going over that song? So, oh, Pastor. Pastor, hold on. Can I take a break? No. And then eventually you see people work it through. And you see this mature group of young people that know how to go after God. It's the greatest gift a pastor can ever have. It's to see young people know how to go after God for themselves. To see people respond. We know in the fifth service. And they say, come on, Pastor, we'll do it for the 20. And to see people after 5 services still smiling. To know that Danny was upstairs, and even myself, upstairs in between the 4th and the 5th service, laid out on her back, about to fall asleep. All of us, dead tired, but we come out here, and guess what? We ain't faking the anointing. The anointing kicks in, and it ain't about us, and you see people get delivered and set free. Hey, I don't know about you, but that's what I live for. That's what I live. I didn't used to live for that, but I live for that now. When you pant, God will establish. When you pant, God will. Y'all got a little bit more time for a little bit more, okay? Just 2 hours for 7 days. Two hours for 6 days. That's all we get, okay? 2 hours for 6 days. It's a good training session. When you pant, God will establish. He's looking for panters. He's looking for panters. You ever get people that don't like drinking water? They over there panting, and you like, hey, did you someone? No, I'm cool. I'm cool. I just need to sit down. No, you don't need to sit down. You need some water. That's why your lips chapped. You're dehydrated. Michael, I ain't talking about you, bro. When you pant, God will what? Establish. Say, establish me, Lord. Look what Ephesians 3 says. Elder Roseanne is one of our favorite. May he grant you out of the rich treasury of his glory, out of the rich treasury of his what? Glory. Out of the rich treasury of his glory to be strengthened and reinforced with what? Mighty power in the where? Inner man by the Holy Spirit himself in what? Dwelling, habitating, aboding, abiding, hanging out, living in your innermost being and personality. Can God make his home with you? When you pant, God will plant. When you pant, God will plant. He will establish you. See, you know what my work permit is? You know what gives me a license to remain in Canada is my panting. You feel me? You know what helps me stay through the storm is my panting. I never relax in the storm, nor do I relax in the promised land. I stay hungry. I stay thirsty. I like hanging around thirsty and hungry people. Right? Wealthy people like hanging around what? Wealthy people. People that's driving to get the championships like hanging around people with the same mindset. I love hanging around hungry and thirsty people for the Lord. When you pant, God will what? Plant. Psalm 1. Here you go. You think I'm lying? Like to hear it, here it go. What delight comes to the one who follows God's ways? Delight comes to the ones that follows God's ways. He, who is he? The one who delights, the one who hungers, the one who thirsts and follows God's ways won't walk in step with the wicked nor share the sinner's way. Nor will he be found sitting in the scorner's seat. His pleasure and passion, his thirst, his hunger is remaining true to the word of God, or the word of I am. Here we go. Meditating day and night in true revelation of light. The person that is hungry and thirsty remains. They're satisfied. They're full of pleasure, but they find it in remaining and being hungry and thirsty for the things of God. Verse 3, he, who is he? The one who is hungry and thirsty and who follows. That person will be standing firm. Pandemic come. Guess what? The people standing firm is the one who before pandemic came found themselves hungry and thirsting for God. I'm committed to the hungry and thirsty. Yeah, pandemic come, but guess what? You notice we have not moved. We're still moving. We're still going. Oh, we can't gather? Cool, we're going to stream. We have not stopped. We've only multiplied. Why? Because what one at the core of LoveQuest's culture is the word. It's a thirst for God's presence. And you wonder why we've allowed God to go 4 hours. It's because God knew pandemic was coming and something was going to have to hold you other than your job. Yeah, we fan the flame. We've been worshiping ever since. We're planted off of worship. We're planted off of the word. And guess what? The world is going to get crazier. And if you do not figure out a way to hunger and thirst for righteousness, guess what? You're going to be tossed to and fro. Next time they tell you, you can't go nowhere. Don't let it get like California. You can't go nowhere. Nowhere. Oh, man, put me in the house. You know, you notice that you can't take away my worship. We just gonna worship in the house. We're gonna find out where we're gonna worship, and we're gonna have a sleepover for a few weeks. And then guess what? We're just gonna worship. We're gonna worship. He will standing firm. Look, not just standing firm, but do you notice why you standing, you flourishing? Say to the lie. While you standing, you what? Flourish. Ooh. Not while I'm running around, Sion. Not while I'm working overtime. Not while I ain't got time to go to church because I got to go to this rendezvous. I got to do this. No, I'm standing on what he promised. And while I'm standing, I'm what? Flourishing. I'm a flourishing what? Tree. Why am I a tree? Because my flourishing is going to bless some other folks. Yeah. Flourishing tree. And trees got more seeds to plant more trees. Tree planted by God's design, deeply rooted, deeply, deeply rooted by the brooks of bliss. I love it. I love it. Look. Bearing fruit in every season. Pandemics, COVID-19, whatever the world throws at us, we will always produce in every season. Look what it say. Never dry. Never dry. The only place I got permission to be dry is at home. But even at home, ask the girls, ask people, I'm on one at home too. Is this not no show when we come to church? Folks walk around singing the glory of the Lord. We prophesying. We correcting. It's a life, but it's a producing life. That's why we're not only never dry, but we're never faint. And not only are we never fainting, but we're ever blessed. You know, when he take off the foe on forever and just say ever, 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 we ever blessed. That's like, that's forever. That's like long time, ever blessed. Say, I'm ever blessed. And ever prosperous. Oh, Shekabah. The message says it this way. How well God must like you. You with me, boy? How well God must what? Like you. See, I was talking to Grace the other day. She was like, I don't get it when husband and wife call each other boyfriend and girlfriend. And I said, whenever you, because I miss my girlfriend, right? See, girlfriend, it's like you got to actually, like, you guys like each other. Like, you thinking, when you think girlfriend, boyfriend, you're still trying to impress each other. A lot of people get married, they stop trying to impress each other. No, that's my girlfriend. I like you. I want to impress you. I'll walk in front of you a few times like this. Oh, bag up. You want me to bag up? How well must I like you? How well God must like you? You don't hang out at Sin Saloon. You don't slink along Dead End Road. You don't go to Smart Mouth College. That's the one right there. This is for all the little kids. The Lord loves you because you don't go to Smart Mouth College. Parents, then you can use this one. It's in the Bible. Smart Mouth College. Amen. Some of our kids for sure working on their doctorate degree at Smart Mouth College. Some of them going to be professors at Smart Mouth College. Amen. But instead. You thrill to God's word. You thrill to God's word. You chew because you what? Hungry. You chew on scripture. Day and night. That's a sign of a hungry person. You overeat the word. You're a tree replanted in Eden. Where you was originally planted. Look, bearing fresh fruit. You ready? Fresh fruit every month. Man, to dwell is always looking for the hand of God to move. Man, I don't care where I go. I'm looking for God to do something, say something, release something, reveal something. Never dropping a leaf, always blossoming. I don't know about you, but I've been in too many droughts in my life. The world wasn't in a drought. My city wasn't in a drought, but my soul was. Having a drought in your soul is not a fun season. Because you're always searching for satisfaction, right? You always get these temporary moments of happy. You get the job. You ever wanted a job so bad you got it, and then you're looking for when you could transition to a new job? Never satisfied. You was like, oh, I need that money, man. I need some money. God, I'll work anywhere for you. And you get the job, and you like, God, bless me with another one. My boss crazy. No, you crazy. You brought that vibe to your job. You brought that energy to your job. You was looking, same thing with church. If folks want to find something wrong with a church, trust me, look hard enough, you're going to find something in the church wrong. And if we look hard enough at you, we're going to find something wrong with you. For sure. We're going to put your mess up on the monitor and we're going to post about you. A deer, I'll read you a few and then you're just going to have to come back tonight to get the rest of this. A deer, God is going to satisfy our thirst tonight. A deer will not stop and drop it like it's hot. I couldn't help it, sorry. A deer will not stop and drop its head to drink unless it feels perfectly safe. This is very powerful in terms of what we've been preaching about as far as guarding your helmet. Not only does water satisfy the thirst of the deer, it also provides a way of escape. Listen, as this deer seeks a stream or source of water that erases the scent trail. The scent. I had people say, man, I'm glad I don't look like what I went through. The water it is thirsting for erases a scent that would allow them to be detected and be possibly killed. See, when you abide in the river of the Lord, you are, they see Jesus, not you. Where did Danny go? She used to complain all the time. I don't hear her no more. She turned her complaining into praise. She's still complaining on the inside. But what's coming out of her mouth is not what she's feeling, but what she knows. The environment must be quiet, free of foreign scent. Free of foreign scent. No sounds of a predator or sounds and scents reminiscent of danger. We go to Psalm 1. It says that this person, they don't just hang out with sinners. Meaning they don't join seats with sinners. It don't mean you don't have people around you that's sinners. It just means that sinners don't impact your life more than you impact their life. It don't mean you don't take the world, you look just like the world with your saved self. It sounds like this other part of creation understands the danger of hanging out with predators. You see, the deer has a bubble too. It's seeking a safe place to drink. And for some of you, when you come here, it's one of the safest places you've been during the week. So what should you do? While it's safe, you should what? Drink. So when you go around predators, you can be effective. You say, only then will a deer stop, expose its neck. Remember the helmet with the neck piece. Only then will the deer stop and expose its neck. How does a deer drink? They have to extend their neck out. If they're around predators, where does the predator go for? Why does Paul use the analogy of a lion? Expose his neck and drink of the water available. Not drinking junk food. God supplied the deer with large eyes that are still able to view the surroundings for well over 180 degrees of its surroundings while feeding or drinking. So we see pictures in the Bible where it says they got the sword in one hand and they're working with another. See, why are we here drinking? While we're drinking, we're also preparing for war. While we're drinking, he's sharpening our vision. Let's land this thing. God not only provides water that is essential for physical life, but through his word, we are able to escape the shame and despair of pursuing evils. Do you know the enemy's coming after you all day, every day? Evil loses its pursuit trail when we eagerly pursue our Father and his word. Evil gets thrown off. It loses track of you when you hide in the secret place. Why are we praising? You ever see the movies where somebody is running from somebody and they make it into somewhere? And then that person's outside. You see it a lot of times in martial art movies when they're chasing the karate kid and they can't find him and they're looking around. And that's how the enemy is. With these prophetic words over the last 2 days, you've entered into a place where praises is going up and the Lord is covering you, and the enemy has lost his grips. Remember last night, the glory makes you greasy. Greasy love. Go to John 4:6-8. We'll pick up there tonight in Jesus' name. Give God a hand. Father, we thank you, we bless you, and we thank you for hungry and thirsty folks. These are your children, Lord, and I thank you have supplied us with more than enough water to drink from. Thank you, Lord, that we do not find our satisfaction in the task that you've called us to do. Lord, I will not find my satisfaction in preaching. I will not find my satisfaction in serving. I will not find my satisfaction in pouring. I will find my satisfaction in you. And out of my relationship with you, I will pour from. Lord, I come against the spirit of disappointment. Especially the disappointment that comes from unhealthy expectations. Displaced expectations. Thank you this morning that you sit on the throne of our souls. You sit on the throne of our hearts. And we are forever grateful. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for joining us. Stay connected with us by following us on social media at LoveQuestINTL Church. And join us next time as we receive another powerful Right Now word brought to us by our man of God, Pastor Terrence Richmond. Enjoy the rest of your day. And in the meantime, get your love fixed, man.